to start our services. I know there's a small group, but with Bible school going, I can see why. We do have a song leader, John.
Brings that out nicely. Number one.
Come, the
I'm
tells me I've got a poor feed conversion. I can eat more, but yes, it's something for each of us. And I say it's not fair. Here we are prone to eat too much, and in some land they're starving. So let's not take it lightly, but remember that we have a responsibility. Second Peter, chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant of an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according to his divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Yes, well, I guess we'll take prayer requests, and I'll ask you to speak up, and if I can't hear, John will help me out.
But like all good things are, Satan can use it as a way to make us sin or against us. Evidence in the Bible, even people overate. Many examples in the Bible. So I feel it's a very large subject, very extensive. I have more material tonight than I can ever talk about tonight in 45 minutes. So I'll try to get it all said. But first things first, number one, where's the closest exit? Is there one up here? Good. And second important thing, I have to build my credibility. So I'll be in this room for a little bit. You might think, well, what am I doing up here talking about overeating? I'm a relatively skinny guy. I mean, I probably don't have any idea what I'm talking about. I can't empathize. But I'm going to tell you my story. In 1997, my family and I moved from Paraguay to here. And I weighed 165 pounds. And mom bought me a pair of jeans. And they were the first jeans I had that mom bought me in the U.S. And I love those jeans. They're my favorite. But next 3 years here in the United States till 2000, I went from 165 pounds to 220 pounds. I drank a lot of pop, ate a lot of American foods, and I couldn't wear my pants anymore. and I felt lousy at 220 pounds. One morning before work, I thought, boy, I should jog. You know what? So I took off down the road. I barely got 100 yards, and I just thought I was going to die. I was just gasping for air. And at that point, I realized that I need to do something about my health, my weight problem. And it was very hard at first because I knew that I had to eat less, exercise more, and not only do this for a short time to lose my weight, but the rest of my life, because if I lose my weight and I eat like I did before, I'm going to get fat again. And it's very depressing. And it's been a journey ever since. And it took me 3 years to lose my weight. And one of my goals was I wanted to wear these pants again. And these are the pants. And that's just some room. Not bragging, I'm just saying. My credibility here. Most of this information isn't my information. Not stuff I came up with. It was just condensing of some, a lot of research. And I'm just going to try to make it, give you a short, sweet version of it. A lot of good, really good resources. As you can read, they're all my resources are from evidence-based, peer-reviewed medical journals, medical research articles. So I didn't just Google this and get the first article that popped up. Quite a few references here. And to kind of set the stage, I got to tell you another story. One time, a long time ago, there was a town called Normalville, and it was in the middle of the United States, and they had about 40,000 people. And through this town, there was a river, went from the east to the west, and it was a roaring river. And at the west end of town, there was a huge waterfall with sharp rocks down there, and this town was really proud of their river because their river was the attraction for lots of people all around. And the reason it was got so popular is because when the town got started, they noticed some people floating down the river. And they thought, oh, that's too bad. And they would fall off the cliff and then they would die. So this town thought, we have to rescue these people. So they started out with pretty essential ways of rescue boats, but this became a science. They developed heroic rescue methods. They have helicopters, laser guided hooks and grapples and things, and they had this big college that studied and taught how to rescue people from a raging river, and they even developed really risky ways to snatch people just as they were falling off the waterfall. And they're very proud of this, how they rescued these people. And a lot of people from other countries came to see how they rescued these people, these amazing rescue techniques. So that's where I'm going to stop now. I'll finish it later. And I want you to think about that scene, that town. What is wrong with that town? My brief outline, I'm going to define some terms. I'm going to explain some of the costs of overeating, give some examples of effects of routine overeating. I'm going to explain why routine overeating is a weighty subject. After all, it might not be a weighty subject. It might not be a big deal at all. So I'm going to try to make a case whether it's a weighty subject or not. And why stop overeating? And briefly talk about how to overcome overeating. And a conclusion. Here's some terms I will define for you. First, a simple calorie. A calorie is simply a measurement of heat. And it's one calorie, as it's called, the calorie we call calorie is actually a kilocalorie, and it's the energy it takes to raise 1,000 grams or 1 liter of water 1 degree Celsius. Not a big deal. Different kinds of calories, sources of calories for people, carbohydrates, proteins, fats, and alcohol. Hopefully we don't do much of the latter. And metabolism is simply the rate at which we use energy. There's several types of metabolism. There's basal metabolism, which if I would lay up here on this counter, and I would just breathe and live and maintain my skin and heal my body and just breathe for 24 hours, I would burn about 1 calorie per kilogram per hour. Women, unfortunately, burn slightly less than men. And that's about 60 to 70% of total energy requirements is just living. It's quite a lot, actually. And the physical activity is me up here talking, being nervous, all that good stuff. And it also takes energy to digest food. And the coolest kind of metabolism is the last one, which is basically jittery people. Some people who eat too much, they just move and they're all jittery. They burn up tons of calories that way. Must be nice. Okay, healthy body weight. And I want all you guys to figure out how much you should weigh. Pretty simple, really. The first 5 feet of your height for men is 105 pounds. For women, it's 100 pounds. And for each inch, you add 6 pounds for the men, 5 pounds for women. So I'm 5'10". So 70 inches, 60. 5 foot is 60 inches, plus 10 inches is 70 inches. So my first 5 foot is 105 pounds. And the next 10 inches is 60 pounds. So my ideal weight is 165 pounds. So it's really important that you kind of figure this out, because a little later on, you'll have to kind of, it'll help you get what I'm saying. And some people think they're big bone. I used to think I was big bone, and people told me I was big bone. Turns out I was just overweight. So if you think you're big bone, if your wrist is 7 inches or greater in diameter for the men, you're big boned, and you can add 10% to your weight. And women, if they can have 6 inches diameter of their wrist or more. So I'm way out of whack here. I'm missing a slide. Okay, another term we want to discuss is BMI, body mass index. And it's really important that you get this part too. And the formula for that is on the top. You can see, am I blocking people's view? So it might look kind of complicated, but just divide. It's a division problem and multiplication. Put your weight in pounds on top, and then your height squared, which means my height is 70 inches, so for me it'd be 70 times 70. And take that result times 703, and that is your BMI. And some of you guys probably can't figure that out without a calculator, but write this formula down and then figure it up at home so that you know what your BMI is. Because a lot of the research that talks about overeating uses this formula. Anyway, the healthy BMI is 25 to 29. Mine happens to be 26-ish. If your BMI is more than 30, between 30 and 39, you're considered obese. And if your BMI is more than 40, you're considered severely obese, or we call it morbidly obese. Overeating is defined as a state in which energy intake is greater than energy expended, generally resulting in weight gain. And to demonstrate my this idea, I have my prop here, so don't make fun of it. This is supposed to look like a scale. And if you're you should eating your metabolism and your energy expenditure should be equal. Should be the same. The amount of calories you eat and amount of energy you expend should be the same. Overeating would be if your energy intake is more than your metabolism. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. It's also just simply eating more calories than your body needs, and or routinely eating an imbalance of excessive carbs, proteins, or fats. Okay, those are some of the terms that, the definition terms, if you kind of keep those in mind, it'll help you understand what I'm talking about. I'm going to talk some of the costs of overeating, the dollar amount, and also physical implications. Having a BMI of more than 30 is equal to 20 years of aging. It significantly increases your risk for all kinds of debilitating diseases, which we'll talk about later. You're also very high risk for a decreased quality of life. The mortality and morbidity risk, which is death or disease risk, is higher with overeating than it is with smoking and problem drinking. This is a BMI of more than 30. And financial implications, treatment of overeating is more expensive than smoking and problem drinking. The increase, 36% increase in medical costs and 77% increase in medication costs if you're overweight. That adds up to 113% more. So if a person who doesn't overeat goes to the hospital and a person who overeats goes to the hospital at the same time, the person who overeats regularly will most likely have a bill 113% higher than the person that did not overeat. These are the latest numbers I could find. In 1998, the cost of overeating was $78.5 billion. And 5.3% of total medical costs were related to overeating. I'm going to talk about some common problems associated with overeating. Bear in mind, this in the context tonight, we're talking about overeating. There's all kinds of other conditions, other things that can also cause these problems, but tonight we're just going to talk about overeating. Overeating causes high blood pressure, high cholesterol, coronary artery disease, gallstones, type 2 diabetes, and least but not last, obesity and overweight. And this list is not exhausted by any means. First of all, high blood pressure. It can be caused by too much sodium, too much salt intake. People who eat too much usually have too much salt. So that causes high blood pressure. Just the physical circulation. If you're overweight, you have more body to provide blood flow to. If you have two pipes, one pipe 100 feet long, another pipe is 1,000 feet long, if you have two pumps, one pump is hooked up to a pipe 100 foot long, and a second pump, pump B, is hooked up to a 1,000 foot long pipe, which pump's going to have to work harder? Obviously the pump with the 1,000 foot hose, and that's high blood pressure. If you have lots of extra body mass, the heart has to work harder to get that blood out to those areas. Your blood's thicker if you overeat too much, and all kinds of other things. And the problems, go ahead, Gary.
That's
Exactly. Exactly. And the effects of high blood pressure, your arteries are not designed for high blood pressure. They're very fragile, the capillaries and the arterioles and the very intricate, your most sensitive organs, those arteries are very fragile. And if you have high blood pressure bursting through those veins, it damages those veins and arteries. So it damages your heart, your eyes, your kidneys, brain, and all your whole body with high blood pressure. It's also called a silent killer. It causes high cholesterol, basically because of diet, too much fat, particularly a diet high in saturated fats. There's a high correlation between high cholesterol and coronary artery disease. The exact cause and effect is not known, but there is known that people with high cholesterol have very high risk for heart disease. And most certainly, these are the effects of overeating. These conditions I'm talking about are associated with overeating. Here are some cholesterol levels. If you go to your doctor, I'm sure they'll tell you the ideal of total cholesterol less than 200. The good cholesterol is HDL. You want it to be more than 59. You want the bad cholesterol to be less than 100. If your cholesterol is borderline high or high, your risk of heart disease is very high. And cholesterol is directly related to overeating, eating the wrong things. So yes, there's definitely a complication of overeating. Overeating also causes coronary artery disease, known as heart disease or CAD. The causes of this are high blood pressure. And how it does this is your arteries are very, when you're born, your arteries are very flexible. They're very elastic because they're the high pressure vessels of your blood system. And if you have high blood pressure, it causes micro tears, very tiny tears in the walls of those arteries. If your cholesterol isn't high, and many other substances associated with overeating, your body will probably heal without causing plaque. But if you have high blood pressure and those micro tears, and you have high cholesterol, lots of fat in your blood, instead of the body just healing that over with a nice new layer of artery, fat and cholesterol get stuck in that micro tear, and it starts building up. Just like if you cut your hand, you have first inflammation, gets swollen, red, and then it kind of gets a scar and builds over. Except in your arteries, if you have high cholesterol, instead of healing over nicely, you build fat accumulates in there, fat and calcium, and it causes a hard, white, yellow substance. It's actually kind of crispy. Diabetes can also cause CAD. Genetics also has a major role in this condition, but even with a genetic predisposition of heart disease, one can control it with a good diet, eating the right things, and avoiding overeating. And you can see in that picture, there's an arrow that says points to the plaque. You can't see very well there. This one, you can see it better. The top one is a normal artery, nice and pink, smooth edges. The second one from in the middle, the second one, atherosclerosis. That's another name for this plaque. You can see it building up there. And then the third one is a larger plaque. And occasionally, when the gap is so narrow, and there's an insult there, like a new micro tear right there, it swells up, and the body builds a clot right there. And then blood flow stops. And in this particular picture, where you can see that circle, that's where that blockage is. And you can kind of see the black on the bottom of the heart, where that heart muscle has died. That artery there is the left anterior descending, which is also called a widowmaker. A very important artery in the heart that you want to keep open. Another complication or a cause of another problem associated with overeating is gallstones. The greater your BMI, more than 25, the higher is your risk of getting gallstones. And gallstones, basically, stones that get accumulated in your gallbladder. And you get stones in there. Occasionally, one stone will go into your bile duct, little duct there, and it'll plug that duct, and it's very painful. And if it plugs the hole distal to where the pancreas joins the duct, then the pancreas also gets backed up, and it's very painful and can cause pancreatitis, a very severe problem. Another major problem associated with overeating is type 2 diabetes. It's a very devastating disease. People who are obese are 20 times more likely to develop type 2 diabetes than people who are of healthy weight and don't overeat. 8 out of 100 people here in the U.S. have diabetes, type 2. 8 out of 100 people have diabetes. 80 to 90% of those are type 2 diabetics. 65 of those who have type 2 diabetes have a BMI of more than 25, which is they're overweight. 35% of people with type 2 diabetes have a BMI of more than 30. I'm going to tell you a little bit about how diabetes works. I think it's kind of important that you know, understand the basic principles of diabetes. And I wish I had a chalkboard, but I don't. It's really a busy slide, as you can see. There's a lot of stuff going on in here. This is one cell, and this is just a basic outline of the cell. There's much more in the cell than this. And the fuel of the cell is sugar, carbohydrates, sugar, carbs. Without sugar, your cell will die. And you notice all these little things sticking out, those are receptors. And each of those opens a gate or does something on the surface of the cell. Sugar cannot go into the cell without insulin binding to one of those receptors, telling it to open the gate so that blood sugar can go in. So people who overeat routinely, they have their blood sugar is very high. It's always lots of sugar in the blood. After a while, because there's such a high concentration of sugar outside, the cells starts taking in some of the receptors, insulin receptors. And the high sugar concentration outside also damages the remaining insulin receptors. So when you get symptoms of type 2 diabetes, is when there are no longer enough receptors on the cell to let enough insulin in. So the cell is inside a cell, it's starving of sugar. It doesn't have enough sugar because the receptors for insulin are all burned up, or a lot of them are burned up, and the ones that are left have to work really hard. So you get very high blood sugar, you get all the symptoms associated with diabetes. The way they treat this is by giving you a drug that makes your pancreas just crank out more insulin so that the receptors that are there have more insulin. That only works so long because those receptors get burned up as well if you don't change your lifestyle, quit eating so much sugar, and exercising, that sort of thing. Diabetes is a very severe disease, but it's also preventable in most cases, and it can be reversed. Diabetes is very damaging to primarily the most intricate organs like the eyes, the kidneys, the brain, etc. And last but not least, a problem associated with overeating is simply being overweight or obese. Overweight and obesity are usually a symptom of overeating. Those underlying symptoms. It doesn't mean that when you overeat, you will automatically get overweight. People who overeat may not be overweight, but they can still have all the other problems building up in their body. So in my case, my tendency for overweight, obesity, is actually a blessing because it's kind of a gauge to tell me, am I eating too much or whatever? If I wouldn't have that built-in tendency to gain weight, I wouldn't really know. It would be much harder for me to know. So if you eat too much and you're overweight, it's your body's way of storing energy as fat. Some of the effects of obesity are just the ones I went over. And also muscle and bone problems. Back problems, for example. Okay, so I'm 50 pounds overweight. And I'm carrying it all up here. It's like, and your spine is back here. Way back here. And it's like this big around. And I'm carrying 50 pounds out here in the front. Can you imagine the stress that's causing on the spine? So there is no structure between out here and the spine. It's like carrying a sack of concrete in front of me here. So there's not a real surprise that lower back pain is one of the most common complaints of pain in America. It's also one of the main reasons, one of the most common reasons why hips and knees go out just so much. God didn't design your body to bear 50, 100 pounds all the time. It's like carrying a sack of concrete all the time. When you walk, you jump, it's on you all the time. It restricts your activities, what you can do. And it can also cause psychosocial problems, self-image problems. So that was kind of a hurried rush. Apologize. Some of the effects of overeating. So I hope it's very clear in your mind that overeating is a big problem. And so why should we stop overeating? I think there's several reasons that I thought of. I think it's our obligation, and moral and social obligations. Moral, primarily, we're Christians. And in 1 Corinthians 6:19 to 20, it says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." Galatians 5:22 talks about the fruits of the Spirit, and it mentions self-control. So I think it's very important for us Christians to demonstrate to the world that we're honoring God's body, our bodies, and also showing self-restraint. If we go to somebody in the street and try to tell them about Jesus, and we have all the symptoms of a life of self-indulgence and lack of self-restraint, I have to wonder how effective our witness can be. Also, it's an issue of stewardship, I believe. There's people in the rest of the world who are starving. Not only is our habit costing money, more food, but it's also causing enormous amounts of money for medical problems and all sorts of problems. And I think God's going to hold us accountable at the end of the day. He's going to ask us, how did you live a life? What lifestyle did you live? Did you choose to self-indulge and just, et cetera? Also, I think it's a social obligation. So you decide, or I decide to live my life, eat whatever I want, not really watch, just overeat basically on a regular basis, overeat. And at the end of the day, when I have health problems and I turn this into this $100,000 bill, I expect my brother to my side to help pay for this. And all this time, he was watching his diet, exercising. And why should he have to pay for my poor choices? And I think our healthcare system, health insurance arrangement is very, very good. Kind of brotherhood, brother helping brother. But I think it brings it closer to home, because if one of us makes poor choices in our lifestyle and turns in horrendous medical bills, everybody else is going to have to pay for that. Here in America, we have this idea that, well, Who are you to tell me what I'm doing, how I should live my life? This is a free country. But I go to the hospital, hey, you owe me this, pay my health bill. And you can be assured that there's nobody of us here today who can afford the price, the financial price of overeating. Physical, it just makes sense. If you don't choose to change to live a healthy lifestyle now, your habit, my habit, will make that choice for us. If you're lucky, you might keel over with a heart attack, and that'll be the end. But for most people, that's not the case. Most people end up living years and years of decreased quality of life and wishing they had made healthy choices. I'll just tell a story about I work in the hospital, ICU. I take care of a lot of people with heart attacks, people who know that smoking causes heart attacks. They know that a lifestyle high in stress causes heart attacks. They know that overeating regularly causes heart attacks. They know that they're overweight, that causes heart attacks. They know all this stuff. And they knew this for many years. And they come to the hospital and they just shock, like, I can't believe I just had a heart attack. Why? Nobody ever says, well, I was kind of planning on having a heart attack tonight or whatever. It's for some reason, we can't put two and two together. I do the same thing. We see the effects. We know what's going to happen to us. We know the cause and effect of our actions, but we don't think it'll affect us. It's called an invincibility complex. And most of us here probably are thinking, boy, I wish you'd be listening right now to this topic. Anyway, that's kind of a bunny trail. Financial reasons for stopping overeating, it's very expensive. Nobody can afford it. That's one of the reasons why our healthcare system is so haywire. Okay, so I'm way behind. So how to stop overeating? It's really simple. You balance your food intake with your metabolism, like this right here. Keep this level, this scale here. If you eat too much, the scale is crooked like this, and you're overeating. That's basically what it is. Pretty simple. And so how many calories do I need? So we use the metabolism formula that I showed you earlier. The 105 pounds plus your 6 pounds per inch over 5 foot, or 6 foot, 5 foot. That is your ideal weight. So based on your ideal weight, how many calories do you need? And I think I showed you the requirements of energy. Let me show it to you. Here are the caloric needs. They researched these, and they're pretty accurate. For the sedentary person, it takes about 11 calories per pound per ideal weight per day. So many calories you need. For me, that would be about 1,800 calories. But if you exercise 4 to 5 times a week, of 20 minutes each continuous time, walking, jogging, you can up those calories to 13 to 15 calories per pound per day. And for me, that would be about 2,300 calories, 2,300 calories per day. If you're really ambitious and work out a lot, you can do up to 18 calories. This is the category that sports players would come into, like sports athletes. And for me, that would be I think around 3,000 calories. So that's, if you can kind of write those down and figure out how many calories you need at home, you can kind of keep track. If you're too lazy to think, oh, I don't want to count calories, I don't care. If I would just spoon feed you all the information you need, it would most likely not help you anyway because you're not motivated to help. You have to be participating in your, you have to participate in your healthcare. You have to think about things and research things. So, are we overweight? And if so, what do we need to do about it? I'll tell another short story. All of us have cars, I think. Most of us do. Let's say your car, you drive your car 10 miles a day, every day, and every day you put in 5 gallons of gas, and you would just putter to work, putter home. And every day you put the same amount of gas in, and your gas tank was expandable. It was rubber. And after a couple weeks or years, why do you suppose it's going to happen? You're going to have a big, bulging gas tank. And you're going to have your motor is going to not have enough power anymore. You're going to, car's going to be sluggish. The handling's going to be horrible. There's a lot of things. You can just picture in your mind that big, bulging gas tank. So you're mechanics now, and somebody brings this car to you and says, I have this problem in my car. What should I do about it? Well, what would you do about it? I, for one, would say, well, you should put less gas in. And, get on the gas and go. And instead of going directly from here to Hutch, go through Wichita and burn some of that gas. So that's one example of just, it has its limitations, trust me, but hopefully get you a mental picture. So you're overweight, or I'm overweight, and we want to get rid of that weight. Each pound of fat has about 3,300 calories. It's like butter. Butter has 3,300 calories, too, per pound. So there's a problem, because if you were, or I, we were overeating for a long time, you're like this. So you have to go to level first. That's going to feel like a lot, trust me. If you're used to like this, eating like this for a long, long time, and you equalize your metabolism and your energy intake, you're going to feel like you're not eating enough and you're hungry a lot and all kinds of things. But not only do you have to go straight, you have to go like this for a while. You have to eat less than you burn for quite a while. And there's all kinds of diets out there to say, oh, lose weight, 50 pounds in a week. That's not true. Dehydration doesn't cause weight loss. It's just dehydration. You just drink water and you get gain weight back again. So that's the issue here. So I have a kind of example here. Set reasonable goals. Half a pound to a pound a week would mean eating 300 or 500 calories less than your recommended dietary intake. And in about a year, you should lose, 50 pounds in a year. That's reasonable. That's high, even. I grant you that. It took me 3 years to get rid of 60 pounds. Let's say you would go from, if you're sedentary, burning 11 calories per pound per day, which is, for me, would be 1,800 calories, and you would crank it up to 15, you walk 5-6 times a week, 20 minutes at a time, you would increase your calorie consumption, just burning 660 calories per day, just by that increased revving the engine kind of thing. And if you just do that and eat the same, eat the equilibrium, keep this straight, eating wise, but ramp up the metabolism in from sedentary to moderate, in 275 days, you should be able to lose about 60 pounds. Like for me, it was 60 pounds. But I didn't do that drastically, not even close. So I hope that gives you kind of an idea. Use the food pyramid. It's very confusing, but if you study long enough, it makes sense. I'm halfway through. So how to stop overeating? I have just several reasons off the top of my head. Know what you're eating. Think about it. How many of you guys have ever seen a toad eating? They just bloop, bloop. Everything that moves, they just eat, including live coals. If you throw a live coal in front of a toad, it'll eat it because it blows. Very poor choices. I think a lot of times we're like that. If somebody puts a plate of food in front of us, we just eat it. But you should look at it. What is it? Is it high in cheese? Is it a lot of oil in here? And read up on it. Know what you're eating. And choose whole foods. Avoid processed food. Eat green leafy vegetables, lots of beans, and just whole garden things, fruits and vegetables. Processed foods are just chock full of extra calories. They are trying to get rid of all kinds of high fructose corn syrup. And guess where they're putting it? They're hiding it in all these processed foods, and we're just eating them without knowing it. Start reading nutrition facts. That's very boring. I used to make fun of people who did this, but I'm very good at it. And after a while, you kind of know without even reading it. Educate yourself. Read. I got some more books here. Here's one, Mindless Eating, Why We Eat More Than We Think. Brian Wenzik, PhD. A really good book. It's called Animal Vegetable Miracle by Barbara Kingsolver. Very good reading material. Read. Exercise. Make eating healthy foods and exercising your lifestyle. Avoid drinking empty calories. That's one thing I stopped doing is drinking soda. I drink a lot of that. I had a friend who told me, well, he stopped drinking pop. He was very proud of this fact. He knew I was against all that kind of stuff. But he drank apple juice and orange juice and all those fruit juices that you buy at the quick shop and Gatorade. I didn't tell him this, but he was drinking more calories that way than he was drinking pop. It just was lacking carbonation. A lot of those apple juices have more calories than a pop does. So I started drinking diet pop. And there's this rumors around that aspartame is bad for you. Bogus. Not true. There's actually the New England Journal of Medicine, which is like the top dog in medical research, did a study because people were saying all this stuff. And it's not true. You had to drink like 20-some diet Pepsis in a day to even cause any slight effects of aspartame. But there is all kinds of evidence that shows that drinking regular pop is bad for you. That's one of the main problems, so just weigh the research. Whole milk. Whole milk has 150 calories per 8 ounces. Skim milk has 80. So it might take you a while to get used to drinking skim milk. Don't just go from whole to skim. Kind of transition. And if you say, oh, I drink 2% milk, that's the gimmick. 2% milk is per weight, that the fat is 2% of the weight. So 2% milk is very high fat, like 120 calories. Avoid fat diets. Eat at breakfast. And I was going to go over a recipe with you, kind of get this down to real life. I mean, most of our moms or wives cook out of a recipe book. And I just grabbed my mom's trusty Country Cupboard Cooking from Kansas, I believe. No, this isn't from Kansas. Anyway, I got this random underground ham casserole. So I just itemized the calories. 4 cups cube ham, not bad. 2 cans mushroom soup. And then 2 cups Velveeta cheese. 4 tablespoons of butter, and 1 cup probably whole milk, and 1 pint of sour cream on top. So, and I looked through the whole cookbook, and I couldn't find any healthy recipes in there. So I don't know how Mom does it. So I researched all this stuff, and I got all the calories down, and for each of the ingredients. So here's the short and sweet of it. 4 cups ham, depending what kind of ham you got. regular ham is 873 calories. Mushroom soups, 500 calories, 250 calories per can. 2 cups of Velveeta cheese, 900 calories. The milk, 150. Sour cream, 1 pint is almost 1,000 calories. And it doesn't say how many potatoes put in. I just figured 4 cups, so probably ought to do it. It's 544 calories. Total of 4,332 calories. And I just guesstimated this might serve 6 people. Is that about right? That is 722 calories per person. That's just for one meal. Let's say your budget, my calorie budget for one day is 2,300 calories, and if I eat this ham, underground ham casserole, I eat almost a third of my calories in one dish. So that was without the bacon on top even. So I'm almost out of time here, actually out of time, but let's just talk about some ways we can improve this this recipe. I'm going to challenge everybody who cooks here to just try to strip out some of the calories that are in these recipes. Just because the recipe says you put in 4 cups of Velveeta cheese doesn't mean you have to put that much in. You can put less in, I think. I don't cook, but sounds good. So I challenge you to, like, the Velveeta cheese. Let me back up. Most households, most cooks, I think, have 10 or 15 favorite recipes that they use a lot. And I would challenge everybody who cooks to examine those recipes and try to sneak out some of the extra calories that are hidden in there without you knowing. Like butter, for example. If somebody in your family loves butter, don't hide it in a casserole. Let them eat the butter on a piece of bread so that they won't have to eat, you know, the butter in the casserole you don't taste anyway, probably not. So here you could probably take some of the mushroom soup out, put something else in, I don't know what. Maybe use less cheese. Instead of butter, you could use vegetable oil. Make sure it's not stick margarine or anything, but just vegetable oil. Use skim milk. And instead of sour cream, something else. You can tell me I'm real bad at this, but just some ideas. Mom cooks healthy, and she doesn't know. She strips these things out without us knowing even. Go ahead, Joe. I think that's true. Yeah. I think if in order for your family not to cause too much pain, do it slowly. You know, instead of 2 cups of Velveeta cheese, might just go 1 3/4, and then next time 1 1/2, and slowly wean them off, and put some other filler in there, or use more whole foods. So far we discussed. We define some of the terms, some of the costs of what we're eating, the physical, the financial costs, some very severe examples of overeating, and very real. They're not made up. And we discuss why routine overeating is a weighty subject, and also how to overcome overeating. So my conclusion. Back to the story of the raging river. What were you thinking? I hope you were thinking that, what was going on upstream? Why are these people in the river? And the American healthcare has been like that town of Normalville. We have all kinds of heroic ways to stent blocked arteries, and we can rotaroot plaque out arteries and all kinds of things. Very expensive, painful procedures, but like I hope you guys saw it, is we should upstream. Why are these people falling in a river? This is a river, is a town there with a I mean, is there, put a barrier up by the road or put signs up. And also, don't be a lemming. In case you don't know what a lemming is, lemming is an animal that they run in packs and they just blindly run off cliffs and drown oftentimes. And with your lifestyle, don't just blindly eat whatever you feel like and without thinking what you eat and making poor lifestyle choices. If you totally ignore the research and the recommendations of research, you're like a lemming, or I'm like a lemming, just blindly guzzling my way on through life. And trust me, if we keep up the lifestyle, unhealthy lifestyle we do now, we will find ourselves in that river and being fished out by that hospital. So I challenge you to think about your lifestyle choices, what you eat, your activity level. I realize there's a lot of information, a lot of... it wasn't in the best order, but I hope that you got something out of this topic that would benefit your life. Is there any questions you might have? He asked, is there a better time to eat big breakfast versus a big meal? Yes, a good breakfast is very essential to starting your kickstarting your metabolism. People who eat breakfast have a higher metabolism the rest of the day than people who do not eat a breakfast. It kind of kickstart your metabolism so you burn more calories. But it is possible that if you eat one meal a day and it would be your evening meal, and you would still eat the recommended amount for your weight, you could eat it two-thirds of it in the evening and still be okay, as long as you don't eat, you know, like a buffet all day then at evening too. So generally, I guess it's not as important when as to how much or what kind of food. Go ahead. Sure. Yeah, very true. Well, sorry I took so much of your time. Like I said, I hope you got something good out of it. Hope at least one person comes out of this place and changes their lifestyle for the better.